ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Last week we began transcendental forms and that is transcendental knowledge. So I think it is a speech of Patrick. So somebody can quickly revise some points before we go ahead with the next important session. We can begin with one today. Who are the second last week? I'm going to give a big shot. Very nice. This is one of the translation of Bodhisattva. So we can see what we discuss under this heading. Parampara. We talked about the parampara. What is that again? Yes? Yeah. Yeah, very important point. It is the obligation of the king to know the transcendental knowledge and give it to the people in the world. It is duty. It is duty of the king. To the king, to the master and father, to give this knowledge to the dependents. That's another point. Yeah.
First of all, we discuss about the living entity is sarvagata. It pervades
throughout. Yes, living entity is sarvagata. Sarvagata means they are all pervading. They are there in every planet. The millions of living entities. So living beings living on sun is no mystery. That was the point in there. Any other point in this connection in there? Yes, predominating deity in every planet. Every planet has a predominating deity. Ocean has a predominating deity. And we were talking, I think, about how nothing can happen by itself. Some examples we give for that. How nothing can happen by itself. Everything requires some organizer or controller.
Yes,
sir. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Managing the country, managing a company, managing a temple, all these things require somebody. Someone to control these things nicely, to make it go smoothly. And you see so many wonderful things are happening in nature. Rains are coming out, fruits are coming, rains are taking place. And all that is required for man is supplied, like the sun, sunlight, there is rains, there is monsoon at the right time so that we can have nice rains. So all these things are beautifully controlled because there are providing deities controlling them. Very good point. Science can explain how things are happening, but it cannot tell us why something should happen. Why should it always rain? Nobody asked that question. We just to take it for granted that these things happen. That's a nice point. And then? Yes, duration of the universe is the last one. Satya, Deta, Jatra, Kali. So maybe I'll ask one of the questions to see how much devotees have grasped the time duration. Who can say how much is Kali Yuga?
4 lakh 60,000 years.
Okay, how many manus are there in one Brahma's day? 14 manus. Okay, only one should answer. How much is the period of one manu? Who can answer? Somebody else can answer. How much is the period of one manu? The people have answered many questions. Somebody else can answer? Yes. Counting millenniums. Counting millenniums is one manu. Who can say we are living in the period of which manu? Okay. What is it? Daivashatamanu. And who can say in which millennium are we living now? Okay, Krishna Consciousness in this millennium of the continent is 28 millennium. Yeah. 28 millennium is going on. So, you all have grasped it very nicely. Maybe you again have understood. Hmm? So, in this way, we are discussing about the age of Bhagavad Gita, how Bhagavad Gita was not only given to Arjuna, it was given much earlier before. Hmm? So, Vivekananda, and Vivekananda gave it to you. Ego. So there are various kinds available very easily and one can get easy access to this knowledge. But the knowledge of the soul is called as jnana. And knowledge of the soul's relationship with Krishna is called as vijnana. So the jnana and vijnana which Krishna gives in this Bhagavad Gita is not very easily available. And the word rahasyam here, you said here, that it is a very great transcendental mystery. Krishna says similar things in other parts of Bhagavad Gita also. Then we can say, Raja Vidya, Raja Bhukshyam. Bhukshyam means the very great secret. In number of the parts of Krishna says, whatever you can say. That Vidantate Gushyatamam, Kavakshyami Anasayule, Jnanam Vijnana Paditam Vijnata Mokshya Ashubhata. He says, even to take Gushyatama, Gushya, Gushyatara, Gushyatama. There are three levels of secrets. Gushya means it's a secret. Gushyatara means it's not secret. Gushyatama means top most secret. So he says, even to take Gushyatama, Pravakshyami Anasayure. Now, there Arjuna, I'm telling you this top most secret. Because Anasayure, he says, you are non Indian of me. So here Krishna is telling, Bhakta Asimeta Khachita Rahasyam Chaita Rishtama. So Krishna is telling that Arjuna, because you have this prime qualification of being my devotee and my friend, I am revealing this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to you. So the Bhagavad Gita has more than 800 editions in India as you see. But none of the Bhagavad Gita could make a person a devotee. So many people have written Bhagavad Gita, intellectual presentation. After they have the same slippers, probably being at the same translation also. But the purpose of the commentary is they give, that is distorted by the writer or the commentator, according to his whims and chances, according to his likes and dislikes. So, so many people are presenting purpose to Bhagavad Gita, but they are not actually presented according to the will of Krishna. Krishna wants to say something by writing Bhagavad Gita, but they are taking the author's writing and they start making something in a way that is very palatable to them. Like, sometimes, let's talk about this example. For example, one man wrote a book on book named Shadhan. That was the name of the book. But if you read and read the book, if you open the book and read it, the entire book tells you about Aurangzeb. How Aurangzeb acted, Shadhan, how Aurangzeb lived, how what kind of man was Aurangzeb, everything. At the end, there is a little bit about Shadhan. So, when you ask the author, you will come to know what he has written in the book. Simply the things that one cannot say. In the same way, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken to Krishna. And unless one is a transparent person who wants to give the message of Krishna as it is, it is not possible to understand the mystery of Bhagavad Gita. That's why Krishna uses the word rahasyam. Because those who write commentary to Bhagavad Gita, majority of them are not devotees of Krishna. In fact, if you see, in the United States, they have the Department of Philosophy. One man had master's in the field of, what you call it, the Department of, not theology, that's another department in India, not in theology. But they have in Pakistan, you see what they have? They have in some of the colleges even in India, it's I think human choices and human sciences, you know that? Humanities, yeah, humanities. So he was specialized and he did his doctorate in Krishna. So he did his master's and he did his doctorate on. So he was claiming that he was thorough knowledge of Krishna. He knows right from Krishna's appearance until Krishna's disappearance, he knew everything in and out. So he was so confident. But we are all kinds of bad habits. In fact, he has written commentary on Jiva Goswami, and commentary on different Goswami is writing from Krishna. Still, he could not give up smoking, drinking, liquor and going to class. He could not give up his activities. So what do we understand from this? That means, simply being a scholar or being very qualified in Sanskrit slokas or having ability to recite slokas, these are all actually no qualification for understanding Krishna. So Bhagavad Pati Jinasta Jati Shastra and Tapasatra Apranasya Dehasya Mandalam Lokantana. He says, Bhagavad Pati Jinasta, if one doesn't have bhakti of Krishna, Jati, one can be a very, one can be born in a very qualified family, as a Brahmana family. Shastra, or one may be very learned scholar in all the Vedic literature, or one may be very expert in reciting the Vedic mantras, and one may be expert in performing tapasya, in a beneficial performing tapasya. So, jati, shastram, tapastapa, all these things are no qualification. He says, these are all like decorations on a dead body. What is the use of decorating a dead body? It's not going to wake up. Decorating a dead body is no use. In the same way, all these so-called ornaments like jati, shastram, japa, tapa, they all are simply decorations on a dead body. And he says, at best, what can they do? Manda manda pranjana. When such a scholar gives very nice, there are many great scholars in India who are having such English. And after they finish, they let the people clap hands, thousands of people. They clap hands for a long time to give applause. But nobody can understand what he spoke. You ask people, where do you want to come for lecture? They will say, what did you understand? Something which you cannot understand. That's what made this story. Many of these orators have been born in India. And some of the swamis have even gone abroad and preached and come back. But still, they could not transform the hearts of people. If a person is a person claims that I know the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita, the evidence is that he should be able to transform the hearts of people. That is very important. When we talk of Bhagavad Gita, I heard from one person in Pune that we have the residency class. You know residency class in Pune? So there they have some program. They have some Bhagavad Gita program. All elite people come with clothes and shoes and ties and shoes. Nicely dressed, the family should come together. So, some speaker comes there to speak. So, that people are telling. So, this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken to Sese some 5,000 years ago. We actually don't know whether Krishna existed or not. But they say Krishna has spoken, so we are banding, we accept that some person like Krishna must have existed. But actually, we are more concerned about the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is not very important. Like the Bhagavad Gita was speaking. This is the kind of orator who is addressing to about 1,000 elect people, and all these people come to take snacks, take tea, shake hands, and go away. So we have the comfort. So they don't experience any change in their lives. What change do you experience? They don't chant Hare Krishna. They don't come to the program to experience a change of heart. The heart is not becoming open. The heart is not becoming gradually purified. First of all, they don't have faith in Krishna itself. But when the speaker doesn't have faith, how can we inject the love of Krishna in the hearts of the hearers at the audience? He himself is not a surrender person. So these kind of people who are technically called mental speculators, they can do no good to society. That is, you see, there are so many Vedantists, like so many Vedantist organizations nowadays. They have a roundtable conference and they discuss on Vedanta without smoking hookah, sitting at the table and punching on the table, arguing. Using their mental speculation. There are so many people today. Such people can do no good to society. So the Bhagavad Gita itself should be heard from the mouth of a devotee, who is himself a Krishna's devotee. That is the time qualification for hearing. First of all, one should get this question clarified, whether Bhagavad Gita is real or is it symbolic. Because the Mayavadis are impersonalists, they are mental speculators. They say, you see, this Kurukshetra war should not be literally taken as Kurukshetra. You should just think of it like the body, it's like our body. And the Pandavas are like the, you know, our good, the daily nature we have, it's like that. And the Kauravas are like the demonic qualities that we have. So there is a fight between good qualities and bad qualities, and the body is the Kurukshetra. Like that, you should imagine. This is a contention, if you see, Mayavadi is impersonalist. But we have to hear from the mouth of Krishna, we have to hear from Bhagavad Gita, you see. If you go to Kurukshetra today, even Kurukshetra is existing today. We went a year ago to Kurukshetra. We saw there is a place, Jyotisha, where Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, even today. That place is worshipped by thousands of people. And there is Banaganga, where the Bishop Kampadama was lying. And all the places where the body pictures, they all are existing even today. Kurukshetra is not a fictitious place. It is not like some Christian story written by some English author called Hajjivel Sajjil Swan. It is not some Christian story. If you see, Kurukshetra is existing even today. In fact, some days ago, you must have written the newspaper about Dwaraka. You have to read it. In Dwaraka, they have taken out so many ruins from Dwaraka place. But now they want to establish a big museum where they are going to display all the things taken from Dwaraka. And very significant sentence I learned from that, in that newspaper. It says, based on all the ruins and the evidences that we see today, we are able to clearly know that a person called Krishna actually existed. This is the second of the Karmis, the writing. They say Krishna actually existed from all the ruins I wasn't getting out of the other. So when I return, we said we are putting the temple not for me, such things and after. So, even from the mouth of the Buddhist, we can hear such a word like that. That Krishna, that person called Krishna, that person called Krishna, that person called Krishna. But remember, the great is, when the Buddhist lectures, they speak like that. They have no faith in God, they have no faith in the word of Krishna. So some people think that Ramayana, Mahabharata, and all such literature, they are just a mythology. Sometimes even young students, when they meet us, they tell us, oh, somebody, I have a lot of faith in this Hindu mythology. But they don't understand what they mean when they say so. When they say mythology, do you know what they mean by saying so? Huh? It's a superstitious thing. Myth. Myth means that this doesn't have any existence. It is something like a fairy tale. You know, it's a myth. But we think that we say Hindu mythology, so it has to be superstitious. We think like that. But who coined this word mythology? It has come from the Hindology. The Hindology came to India long ago, when we were under the foreign rule. When they were saying that the Indians are very staunch in practicing their religion, as they call it Hinduism. But they are very staunch. Nobody would ever care for any other scripture like Bible or Quran. When they were distributed Bible profusely, people of course accepted it, but nobody ever read it. Nobody used it for building governments. Nobody ever used it for reading. There is people who have a firm faith in the Quranas and the Vedas and Upanishads. Nobody turned towards Bible or Quran. When the Christians saw that, they were wondering what kind of people are these people. Because in other parts of the world, we have expanded Christianity so fastly. Because we fulfill the needs of the people, material needs, and people quickly shifted Christianity. You could very easily think that in India, especially because of the Brahmanas, who are intelligent people, who are studying this culture in India, Indians are not ready to change. These people are too attached to their culture. So we should have some technique by which we can change their minds and bring them towards Christianity. So what did they do? They adopted a plan. They called for very brilliant scholars from the country. They all came, they became Indologists. So they put them under very expert Brahmanas, who are very intelligent in Sanskrit. That those times Brahmanas were very poor, so they were ready to take some scholarships to Christians and give good Sanskrit training to the Christians. And they gave good Sanskrit training when they became experts. Like, for instance, Max Muller. You all know about Max Muller. Max Muller was considered an authority in the field of Sanskrit. But what disservice he has done to the Puranas and the Upanishads, many people do not know. Max Muller was one of those who wrote the commentaries to the Puranas in the beginning. So they see his books, he inserted a Christian and he wanted to convert everyone into a Christian. So, like for example, we take a word called Ajah. What do you mean by the word Ajah? Ajah means unborn. And also it's a meaning called good. So if you take a word from Sanskrit and instead of translating it as unborn, so you use the word good. And then you crown a meaning and say that, see, ultimately this Quran has just blocked so many things which have no meaning. Like that. Or he would, while writing the purpose, he would translate the Quran as, and then you write that they are saying so many two fantastic things which you cannot believe. They are talking of so many fantastic things which cannot actually exist. Or you say there are so many gods mentioned in the Hinduism. The purpose, if the author is writing the purpose, he should strengthen the meaning that is given in the translation in order to increase the faith in the heart of the devotee. Whereas he would write purpose which would go contrary to the meaning given by the Purana. You all understand the point? The chapter will say something and the purpose will write, it's saying that you have done, you believe. In that way, he was trying to gradually shed their faith. In those times when the students who take English education, gradually what will happen? When the research purpose written by Max Muller, which was considered an authority in colleges, gradually their faith in the Puranas and Hinduism was dwindled. And they say they started shaking the faith of the Hindus. And they coined many words. For example, they say, they use the word Trinity. You know Trinity? For Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they use the word Trinity in their books. The Trinity is actually a Christian word. It is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity word. So they wanted to introduce that terms into the Hindu books so that by reading these words, people will become familiar and then gradually they will adapt to the Christian way of life. So they coined the word mythology. Mythology meaning it's a fictitious story. It's a very nice word to say that ultimately what it means that you accept that all your Hindu scriptures are all mythological. But the actual Sanskrit word is Itihasa. Itihasa means history. That is the meaning of Itihasa. Itihasa doesn't mean mythology. So we translated Itihasa as mythology. And everyone is saying today, Hindu mythology. This is that life. So in this way, many people consider even today in India, so-called religious people, that Mahabharata and Ramayana is from the mythological, but they are actually ignited. They are actually histories which have taken place at a particular point of time, and they have been recorded by Yahweh. How can we hear from such people and become devotees? How is it possible? How does anybody become a devotee? Like in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he will say that actually, you know, he went out the calendar to Krishna. You know, Krishna is some person, some instrument only speaking. He just takes the knowledge. Then how do you think a person can become a devotee? That's in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes, unless one understands the position of Krishna, who is he? And unless one behaves like Arjuna, there is no possibility of understanding. So we should not hear from Mayavadis. Mayavadis means the technical person called as impersonalist. Like one Mayavadi, I will not name him, he is a very great leader, political leader. I think he happened to be a president of India also once upon a time. That person wrote a famous commentary to Bhagavad Gita. It was added by people who are mental speculators like him. So when he wrote the commentary, in one of the words, Saradaman Parikudra, Manekam Sanandaga. And the purpose he wrote, in this verse, Krishna is telling, you know, surrender to me, leave aside everything, and you surrender unto me. But he wrote in the purpose, actually, we don't have to surrender to Krishna. We have to surrender to something that is unborn, that is given Krishna. That's what he wrote the purpose. Prabhupada quotes this in the book, Sword of Knowledge. He reads the book, and they say, see the rascal down, how this fellow is writing. So this is the meaning of a Mayavadi. Mayavadis are extremely envious of Krishna. They cannot tolerate the living beings submitted to surrendering to Krishna. So, if one is not able to do some service to society, at least one should not do some disservice. If you are not knowledgeable, if you don't preach, keeping quiet is much better than anti-preaching, isn't it? That's why it is said that my way is according to them, the goal of life is to become silent. So we pray that they can become silent forever. They will not preach. They will not do disservice to humanity. So these are the Mayavadis from whom one should not hear. And then we have Dharma Dvajis. Dharma Dvajis are those who are pretenders. You should not hear from them. They are very dangerous people also. Because in the name of reason, they may be professional reciters, but instead of earning money, they may be preaching. Like, there are people who preach Krishna Bhagavatam. There are people who directly put the stand and discuss Rasila of the Lord. But without knowing the position of the Lord, one should not discuss Rasila of the Lord. So there are people, personal reciters, who are cheaters or sahajyas. They are called pretenders. You should not hear from them. We have non-devotees. Non-devotees are also very dangerous people. Then second half of the definition of a Vaishnava. He said, affecting the child, the Vaishnava said, Sri Sanghi, yet Asadu, Krishna, Abhakta are, he said. So we talked about Abhakta as well. Sri Sanghi, yet Asadu. And if Asadu, one should not hear from him. Very dangerous. That means the person who is not practicing himself, but who is Abhakta. Abhakta means actually not a devotee at all. She is against Krishna. Maya, the other is actually Abhakta. Why? Because they are calling the Lord's form to be Maya. The very same chapter we'll be reading later. How Krishna claims that his form is not Maya. Our form is Maya. If you see his body made up of flesh and bones, made up of Pancha Bhuta. But Krishna's form is not made up of Pancha Bhuta. It is completely pure. If you see, even Ishaprasad describes the form of Krishna. It says Shuddham, Apapa Vittam. It's completely pure. Ashnagram. Ashnagram means there are no veins in the body of the Lord. There are no nerves. It is completely Satchitananda. Ashnagram, Shuddham, Apapa Vittam. It cannot be contaminated by anything. So, the Lord's form should not be thought of to be ordinary. That's a very important consideration. Krishna says, if somebody is a non-devotee, I purposefully don't reveal my form to him. He says, Naham Prakash Sarvasa, Yagamaya Samadhikam, Mudayam Nadhikanati, he says. Mudayam, Mudas, that's really stupid, cannot understand my beautiful form. They cannot understand that I am God. Why? Because the devotee, who doesn't resist it, I don't reveal my form to him. Okay, covering him. Then the eyes of the Krishna see, many sopas are there. It can be Maya, Jamarika, Chennan, Magna, Dakshita, Magriyam, the Maya Gavani Kachana, my dog, there is a covering because of which nobody is able to see you in your original form. She says you are exactly like an actor. It's exactly like an actor who is dressed. Sometimes when you see a person going for a competitive competition, you do not know who is this person. Sometimes when somebody has a nose, somebody has a beard, and like a page. Seeing the page, you cannot make a religious person. Similarly, when Krishna comes to this world, many times people think of him to be ordinary man. Because he looks like you and me. He looks like ordinary man. Kate is Vaidanantimam Moodhan, Manashim Paramashitam. Taking our second self of this human form, they do not know. This is my original, pure form, Satchitananda form. So, when we talk of sharing this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, the first and foremost consideration is from whom are we sharing? That is very important. Sometimes devotees are very innocent in the beginning of this. You go to any lecture, wherever it's under section, somebody comes to give some Bhagavad Gita, they go there, they go to see the individual kings, they have to go along with them to see him. And they go to any place, wherever it is available, people go. Just like you go to authorized institution, where a degree is awarded. The valid degree is awarded, which you can use for getting a job. The same way you should look for authorized parampara. You cannot just go here and there and accept knowledge. One should be very, very careful. Sometimes people say, why people are so narrow-minded? You won't accept only within parampara. Why can't accept anywhere? So you should ask them, why can't join any college which offers you temporary degrees? Or which is not authorized by the government? So people accept any college? And nowadays there are so many colleges open, polytechnics and engineering colleges, which cannot offer you authorized degrees. Do you know that? There are so many colleges. They want to make money through capitation fee. So they open a college. But poor students will join them. And after 4 years they come to know that it is not authorized college. Then they are awarded a degree which nobody will value. Nobody will get a job with such a degree. So will anybody go and join to the college? Nobody will. No intelligent, no sane man will do that. In the same way, if you want real knowledge and perfect your life, then Krishna says, Evam Parampara Prapta. You should accept it in Parampara, otherwise you will be, the life will be ruined. So, when we talk of Bhakta Asimaya Sakha Chetisham, because you are my devotee, and because you are my friend, then because of this qualification I am giving you wisdom. So for hearing, what qualification is required? But Krishna says later in some other place, he says, Kadhutti, Samitmatena, Parikrashnana Sadhya. Three qualifications he says, if you want to hear that knowledge. First he says, Samitmatena. Nitat means falling on the ground. Prani means without a reservation. So Pranipat means falling on the ground without any reservation. This kind of submissiveness is required for hearing the Bhagavad Gita. Once you're ready to fall at the feet of a devotee and hear this knowledge, that is the Sadhvitti, Samitmatena. And he says, Parikrashnana, once you inquire permissively, then one is hearing this knowledge. And Sevaya, once you render service to Krishna. Then once has these three qualifications, then one can very easily understand the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita. Now, somebody may have qualities that are opposite to this. Like you say, that would be Panipatana. One should bow down, surrender and share this knowledge. It is not a physical gesture that you just fall on the ground and immediately get the knowledge. So it is actually a humility in understanding Bhagavad Gita. When you talk of Panipatana, the person who is intelligent understands that my senses are defective. And my senses cannot reach far away. What is it that spiritual things, even medical things, we cannot understand? Like if you take one organ eyes, how much can our eyes be stretched? Can you see what's happening in Pune station now? Our eyes have such a limited ability, we cannot see what's happening behind this wall. So our eyes have such a limited ability. So a person, intelligent person understands that my ability to understand God is very, very little. I have no capacity. I have to surrender to somebody who carries Krishna with him. Then by surrendering to him, then he can give me knowledge. So with the open mind, and the person submissively surrenders, then there is possibility of understanding knowledge. Sometimes people think they know. That is a very great danger. In Vedanta, there is a quote. It says, once it says, I know, he doesn't know. When he says, I don't know, he knows. It says, what is it? He says, what is it for reason? What does the Vedanta say?
That I don't know
anything. Yeah, he is talking to the Vedanta. So if somebody thinks he knows, that means he doesn't know anything. That is a statement. So this is the beginning of knowledge. If one says, oh my Lord, I am very fallen. I do not know anything about Krishna. I have no access to the Lord. He is teaching me some knowledge that is around, approach the Lord. Then he is a very right candidate for sharing this message. Like Sanatana Goswami approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with clumps of grass and his in between his teeth, and he fell down on the ground. And he asked, I don't know anything. Could you call me a pandit? I said, it's a big fool, but I believe in your words that I'm a big pandit. Actually, I'm a big pandit. the very language of Mahaprabhu. But to set an example, he humbled himself in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he bowed down to him. Although he was actually a learned scholar, he could never admit that I am a learned scholar. And he told the reason. He said, you see, I was working under Nawab Uddin Shah, such a Muslim. He was very faithful serving such a big-headed fellow. Because of which we are very fallen, Mr. Lepper. So, once you consider oneself to be very fallen to get this knowledge, once you be very, very submissive. With an open mind, if one thinks I know, then you cannot have an open mind. It's not possible. But you are not denying the service. So, two boys went to a teacher to learn Murdanga. One boy said, he knows already some steps. Other boy said, I don't know any steps. I have never touched the Murdanga also. And the teacher said, you already know some Murdanga, you have to pay 200 rupees. Other boy said, I don't know anything. Telling the teacher, you pay 100 rupees. And then afterwards, his boys are going back home. They are discussing, what is this? The teacher said, I already know some steps. Still, he is asking me 100 rupees more. And again, he went back to the teacher said, my dear child, first of all, I have to undo all that you have learned. That's why I'm taking 100 rupees more from you. So, if somebody doesn't have an open mind, it becomes all the more difficult to give him knowledge. Because he thinks he knows. That's the biggest problem. Serious problem. So, before you can tell him something, he wants to speak for 1 hour. Before you can say a word to him. Sometimes I've seen people, they come and ask me a question. Then I begin to answer, they say, wait a minute, I have an answer for it. He just say yes to the answer. That's all. Then they give a 1 hour answer. And then tell me, now you say, yes, what I said is correct. You agree with me. What can you do with such people? So this is the condition of many mental speculators. They use their few grams of brain to speculate about God and they think all that they know is true. This is the condition. That's why it's not just subject to any pattern. One has to fall flat on the ground. And bow down to the spiritual master and beg for his spiritual knowledge. The humbly, surrendering him, service. When you talk of inquiry, spiritual inquiry, it is not inquiry made in a challenging mood. If one has a challenging mood, he is acting on the platform of ego, not from the heart. It's not coming from the heart, it's coming from the head. Sometimes people ask questions. So, the top question, I look around, how many people are appreciating my question? I think they've asked a question which the spiritual master cannot answer. So, this kind of questioning will neither help the person nor help anybody who is attending. So, when a person asks a question, it should be a sincere question coming from the innermost reaches of one's heart. So that he gets benefited and others also get the benefit. So when he says pariprasnena, that inquiry should be very genuine. And so they ask. Sometimes people ask many questions. They sometimes harass the devotee constantly. Hundreds of questions they ask, but they don't render even a small service for Krishna. Krishna's service is so wonderful that even if rendered without any attraction for the service, even if one renders a small piece of service of Krishna, immediately it is rewarded. There are hundreds and thousands of examples for that. Like a small mouse, he saw the wick in the lamp, and he thought it is butter, so he wanted to eat it. When he was touching that wick, whiskers, they were touching the fire, and immediately he jumped up, and the wick of the lamp came out. When the wick of the lamp came out, the lamp started glowing very nicely. Before that, the lamp was about to be put up, and the rat jumped up. The wick came out and he started going. Then the other person told him, they were watching. Oh, this small rat wants to enter some service to me. Krishna became so pleased, he made the rat a devotee in the next class. He went on to become a great devotee. And he went back to Vaikuntha. So even a small service rendered to the Lord with any mood, with love, is the greatest thing actually. Can give some benefit to us, can help us to advance in spiritual understanding. So, Bhakta, Asini, and Takashi, and Krishna say, all these things are understood in that. All these three things we are discussing now, that are included in a devotee, or a Sakha of the Lord, or a friend of the Lord. Ideal example of such a devotee is Parikshit. He was such a sincere hearer of Bhagavad Gita, which Shukadeva Goswami was saying. Shukadeva Goswami was such a qualified speaker. In fact, he never would go to the city, he would never go to the town to meet the kings. But when the king left everything and surrendered himself by coming to the Gandhis, we all know about Parikshit, isn't it? Parikshit was already a very great devotee of Krishna. In his room, when he was in the Uttara's room, he was almost burnt by the Brahmastra sent by Ashwatthama. But the Lord came and protected him. The Lord was personally in the room, and not allowing the Brahmastra to enter. That was he protected the child. And when the Lord was personally in the child, he was saying, who is this person who is taking a gada So when we get on here surrounding my room, so we saw him and we observed the rock stone was so beautiful. And then later on when he came out of the room, he would go from person to person. So go and look at the person's face and we compare that song with his song and say whether he is the Lord. When he is not the Lord, we put another person. That is why his name became Parikshit. Parikshit means when we were doing Pariksha of the form of everyone, he said, where is my Lord? Whom I saw in the room, in the mother's room. So in this way, we had a very great way to even before. Later on, then he was specified by son of a Brahmana, Shingi. He went to the bank of the Gandhariya and he tried to all the great things there. Please, kindly tell me what should I do in the 7 days. I've been cursed to die in 7 days. Please tell me how I can sum up my life in the 7 days. Then all the great things chose Shukadeva Goswami to be the proper speaker. Although he was just 15 years old, and he gave the knowledge and Parikshit to her. But how did he get the knowledge about Krishna? He was so attentive. In fact, when Shukadeva Goswami would try to cut short something, he would stop him, he would put a break. And then please do not cut it short. Sometimes you will see, Shukadeva Goswami says, so in the Yamuna, when Kaviya came, he was very passionate, said, Krishna subdued him and sent him away. In Bhagavatam itself, there is a statement. He says, Vasudeva Tapa Krishna, Krishna is saying, cannot be given. Vaktaram Shatakam Kitchen, Vaktaram Kitchakam Shatakam, Tattari Shalangita. He says, Vasudeva Tapa means Krishna Kata. Krishna Kata purifies three people. Vasudeva Tapa Krishna. Tapa Krishna means, Kata means the passions of Krishna, and Krishna means the questions, question answers. Krishna is saying, cannot be. Three people are purified. Who are the three people? The speaker, the hearer, and the questioner, when you ask the questions. Inquirer. All three are purified when there is a Krishna Kata. So Parikshit was asking the questions very intelligently. For the benefit of all those audience assembled there, the questions are so sweet. Prabhupada writes, it is rather than perfect. Just see how Parikshit is asking the questions. How intelligently he is asking for the benefit of all sages. Because in that assembly there were many liberated sages, but there were also jnanis. There were also sages who were following the impersonal path. So Parikshit asked the questions. As if he is a very ordinary person, he didn't behave like a devotee. He asked such questions so that everyone can appreciate him. And in this way, the entire Bhagavatam was so beautifully spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. As I was telling about humility, one pastime came to my mind. You all must know Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya had a disciple called Dasharathi. He was very eager to know the meaning of the word Sarvadhamman Paritajya, Mamekam Sunandaja. We all have heard the translation of the verse. Krishna says, abandon all worldly religion and simply surrender unto me. I will deliver you from all different types of things. Do not fear. He wanted to know the inner meaning of this verse. So he approached Ramanujacharya. Ramanuja told him, at a later time I will tell you the meaning. So again and again Dasarathi would approach him. One day, one old lady, she came crying to Ramanuja. She had some problem at home. There was nobody to help her at home to get water, to cook, so that I can do some services. So Ramanuja told Dasarathi, okay, this lady lives in my neighborhood village. You go and be her servant in her house. Be in her house. So Ramanuja sent Dasarathi along with her. And Dasarathi went there. Dasarathi was a very great scholar. He was a very great scholar. He knew everything in chapter. He knew all the conclusions. But still, Ramanuja told him, you just go and help her. Whatever services she needs, do it. So sometimes she'll tell him to bring some firewood, sweeping firewood. Sometimes she'll tell him to carry some water in the vessels. She'll go and get some water. And he'll be doing some household duties exactly like the old lady's daughter. Whatever the old lady's daughter is supposed to do, that's why she was doing the services. And one time, one big Mayavadi came to the village. And he was speaking all nonsense. And he was speaking against the Lord. So Dasarathi heard it. He became so upset. He started arguing against him. And when he argued, Mayavadi asked him, who are you to argue with me? I am such a big scholar and I have preached in all the places. And we are just a servant in this old lady's house. What qualifications do you have? Then Mayavadi asked him some questions. And Dasarathi could very easily defeat him. Very quickly defeat this Mayavadi. So afterwards, people came to know who is this Dasarathi actually. And he went back to Ramanuja. Ramanuja was so pleased. But he basically followed his order of serving in this old woman's house. That's not necessarily talking the meaning of Sarvadhamman Paritajya. I think that's the second part of the story also actually. He sent him to another one of his earlier disciples. So the story was that the main theme of the story is that humility is very essential to gain knowledge. Without humility, also because of bhakta vasana and capacity, because Krishna knows his bhaktas are having this great quality of humility. Because there is no question of understanding. We all know the story of Krishna Mahaprabhu visiting the Gangana temple and making the South Indian Brahmana. So South Indian Brahmana, he was sitting and reading Bhagavad Gita. He didn't know any Sanskrit. He was studying to pronounce the words. But Krishna Mahaprabhu was observing there are so many Swartha Brahmanas who are laughing at him, who are teasing him, standing by his side. Sometimes Brahmanas, they don't remain Brahmanas, they become Brahma Bandhus. Like they are Chakra Bandhus. Here you have Vijay Bandhu. You know Vijay Bandhu? Vijay Bandhu means person who is born in a Brahmana family, but he doesn't have the qualities of a Brahmana. At best he must be having some traits in his body to show you that he is a Brahmana. And then people, while eating meat also, when you talk of something, they show the thread out. One hand is eating meat, another hand is show the thread. I'm a Brahmana. There are people like that today. So they are actually Vijabandhu. Vijabandhu or Brahma Bandhu we call them. So they had no understanding of the scriptures at all. Although they knew to recite shlokas from the scriptures. They were teasing this Shakyamuni Brahmana who was sitting and trying to read the Lord Gita. Mahaprabhu went to him and asked him, now the people are teasing you when you are reading this Shrimad Bhagavad Gita. How are you doing this? And he said, my spiritual master ordered me to read Bhagavad Gita every day. So the reason I am studying Bhagavad Gita. But actually I don't understand much when I read it. Because I cannot even pronounce the verses properly. Now do you know the meaning? And Mahaprabhu asked him, if you do not understand the meaning, then how are you trying to hear without knowing the meaning? He said, whenever I touch Bhagavad Gita, immediately the thought of Lord Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna comes to my mind. Lord Krishna is the master of all the planets in the universe. Everything comes from him, emanates from him. But he loves his devotee so much that he became the charioteer of his own devotee Arjuna. When this thought comes to my mind, I feel so ecstatic. I cry tears, he said. Sadhanavaru said, you have arrived at the conclusion of all the scriptures. You don't need to know anything more. You know everything. But these Brahmanas, they don't know anything. Although they have read all the scriptures, they can chant all the time of the words of the Bhagavad Gita. They have no qualification. But you, having understood the mood of the Lord, having understood the meaning behind the scriptures, you have perfected your life, he said. Saying this, Prasad Mahaprabhu gave his mercy to him by tightly embracing him. And by the touch of Mahaprabhu, he became so overwhelmed with ecstatic. And he cried tears. He said the Brahmana perfected his life. So, when we talk of understanding Bhagavad Gita, Lord himself tells us what is the qualification required. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita you will find Prabhupada writes, at least one should accept Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead theoretically. Without this one cannot enter into Bhagavad Gita. You may wonder, Krishna says this Bhagavad Gita is a secret. But how is it open? Anybody can read it, isn't it? How can it be called a secret? Only when you say something secret you hide in your hand, isn't it? Do you know what I have in my hand? Isn't it you hide like that? And it's a secret. The Bhagavad Gita is the open thing. Anybody can open and see it. So why Krishna calls it a secret? We can't understand it. You know, read it. And one may even memorize all the verses of Bhagavad Gita. And recite to show the people how talented one is. And can become a great orator also. But one cannot understand the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. So one has to become a devotee of Krishna. Bhakta is revealed only when one becomes a bhakta. Bhakta doesn't mean putting on tilak and wearing kantimala. You can become bhakta immediately. One, when Krishna says bhakta, it has a very, very deep meaning. When Bhakta also says a devotee, it has a very deep meaning. One has to become a pure devotee. But if one is not a pure devotee, at least one should be a follower of a pure devotee. One should follow a pure devotee. I understand that I have so many imperfections in me and I have no qualification. And in this submissive mood, if a person is trying to understand, then one can perfect. Now, at this stage, you can go one level further and understand. I had a question in my mind about why the Lord is not keeping us, exposing us to everything of the previous life. Why Lord is hiding? You all know that, isn't it? Lord is hiding But we all have undergone so many lifetimes, but we are not able to remember the previous life. So I ask the question, why should not the Lord reveal the previous life? So generally, what do we say? What is the answer? That's what we say generally, isn't it? Sarasa Maharaj gave a very wonderful answer when I asked him this question. He said, if you know what you did in the past, then when you are undergoing the reactions, you will know that because of those activities you are undergoing these reactions. And you will also know, if I do these activities, then I will be getting such and such reaction in the future. That means you become all-knowing. You know the past, you know the present, and you also know the future. Then you will not feel any need to surrender to the Lord. The Lord wants to hide the path of your knowledge so that you will be forced to surrender to the Lord. In fact, surrender is very essential to go back to God, isn't it not? So by hiding the past, when we do not know the past, what is going to happen now, we will not know. Because of this one time, surrender to the Lord. It is very much possible. And the way that when one thinks that I know the past, I know the present, I know the future, then one may become very complacent in life. One may not want to advance. One may think, I will do good activities and I will remain in this world forever. I will do good and enter another body, and then that body also will do some pious activities and I will remain forever in this world and this way. So when you compare these two things, committing sinful activities and surrendering to the Lord, and becoming completely free from sin and not surrendering to the Lord, this is superior. Right? Yeah. Of course, we should not commit sinful activities, but if the person has committed a lot of sinful activities, that is humble enough to surrender to the Lord, he is considered by far superior than a Brahmana who is free from all sins, but he has no attraction for the Lord. You understand the point? So, the Lord wants one to surrender. The surrender is the most important point. So, Lord doesn't stress so much on how a person should be completely spotless. He emphasizes more on surrender than on becoming sinless. Of course, you have to become sinless. But if you see according to priority, first should you become sinless or first should you surrender? Which is your priority? Surrender is your priority. According to the Lord himself. So, there are many examples of this in the Shastra. You can take the example of Mujari. Mujari was such a great sinner. He had killed so many birds and so many animals in the forest. He was full of sins. When Adamari came to him, he gave him a darshan of all the reactions that he is going to experience in the future life. And Mujari saw Narayani through his ability, his mystic power. He showed him what is going to happen to Mujari in the future. And Mujari saw his own body being bitten by all kinds of animals and worms and all kinds of birds, you know. He was being tortured by animals. He became very horrified. Narayani gave him a glimpse. So, Mujari asked Narayani, oh, I'm so frightened seeing all this. Please tell me what should I do. Now I am ready to follow your instructions. Whatever you say, my dear Narada, I will follow it. I am horrified. Narada told him, my first instruction to you is break your bow. He told him. Narada asked him, break my bow? Then how can I end my livelihood? How can I tell my family? And the doctor said, do not worry. I will arrange for it. I will break your bow. Immediately, Narada broke his bow. So he surrendered. So Narada was full of sense. But he exhibited surrender due to which he became a very great devotee. So somebody, even as sinful, sinful past reactions, it is agreed to the surrender to the Lord, he is considered very great. On the contrary, if somebody who has done a lot of dhan, yajna, tapas, and all these things, and by dint of doing all these things, he has accumulated a lot of virtues, that is not surrendering to the Lord, then what happens to him? He doesn't gain any benefit. We all know this is a mriga, isn't it? Father and mriga, he has done so much of dhan, thousands of cows he donated. Because of mistake, he took the cow from an old Brahmana to whom he donated and gave it to another Brahmana. Because of his mistake, the Brahmana cursed him. And what happened to him? He became a lizard in the next life. You know that, isn't it? He became a lizard in the next life. So he was giving thousands and thousands of cows and dhan to people. He was so charitably disposed, so wealthy, and he did so much service to people. But because he was not a great devotee, one small devotional activity he did during his time. One Sadhu, one Vaishnava came to him and asked him to help construct a temple. So he gave some donation to him, because of which he became a lizard in Vrindavan, instead of well. Like on Krishna touched him and then he was delivered from that. So in this way, somebody may be a dana srashta or yajna srashta. They are all useless. What is most expected of a person is Sharanagati, surrender. And the surrender is present in full form in a devotee. Devotee means one who is fully surrendered to Krishna. That's what Krishna here says. The ancient times of the little bit supreme is told by me today to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend. Some people are saying that one word devotee, Krishna has conveyed hundreds of meanings within it. So devotee means so many things are understood by the Madhvesta, Sarvabhutana, Maitra, Karuna, Yavata, Nirvama, Nirahankara. Qualities of a devotee Krishna will tell later on when he is non-envious. But in many qualities of a devotee, one of the most important qualities is non-enviousness. Non-enviousness towards Krishna. That means the devotee is not envious of Krishna at all times. When he sees Krishna, rather than Krishna together, the devotee sees blissful. Since in the spiritual world, all the devotees are working together to increase the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. They are making a beautiful swing for Radha and Krishna to play. They are making delicious bhoga preparations to offer the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. Nobody in a spiritual world wants to take the position of Krishna. In fact, no devotee wants to even approach Krishna directly. Not even directly. They want to approach to Krishna's servants. This is the meaning of non-enviousness. Enviousness means to try to usurp somebody else's position and sit in the place. That is enviousness. That's why Krishna says, "Idam tika vishetamam parakshami anasuya vevi." Because you are non-envious, my dear Arjuna. That is why I am giving you this knowledge. Right in the beginning of Bhagavatam it is said, do not open Bhagavatam if you are envy. Bhagavatam says, right in the beginning, dharma prachita, kaitavatya dharma nirmasaranam patam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are nirmasaranam patam, devotees. Those devotees are non-envious. If one is envious, one cannot appreciate Bhagavatam. It's very difficult. Bhagavatam is only telling about the Lord's glories. To the degree to which we are envious, to that degree when we read Bhagavatam, a lot of passion will come out of us. As you will see, Radha Patni, husband of Kaliya, glorifying the Lord so much. You will see, like Saravika, if you read Saravika, the glorification of Krishna, you will be falling asleep, right? To the degree to which we are envious. That degree we will see, we will be feeling sleepy. If you hear the prayers of the Vedas personified, or if you hear the prayers of Indra, or if you hear the prayers of Akrura, and you hear the prayers of Uddhava, so if you are all done in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam means pure glorification of Krishna. So to the degree of person is envious, to that degree one will find very difficult to hear the glorification of Krishna. Sometimes there is a glorification between 2 to 50 for the pages. Go, I mean, Krishna book, you know. You know, you have that experience. So, nice stories are reading and then at one point the glorification will start. So, okay, you are going to say the same thing, you are the super soul in the heart of every living being. You are reading all the 3 words. Then, so it is. That is all that we are going to say. So, you never skip like that. You want complete glorification, go through all the prayers. And if you are feeling sleepy, start walking and reading. All the passion should come out. All the envy should be removed outside. Then you can be purified. So this is the qualification that I said in Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti Vasana is a khachya, it's a husband, it's a kutukkama. Right. Any questions? Come on.
Yeah.
What is
the difference
from
the
first?
The
same
knowledge
is unique or? So the first term is that the essence is the same, but details may be different. Like in some Krishna Sampada, they worship the baby Balakrishna as a supreme. They want to relate with Krishna as a child. In some, like in our Sampada, what is considered the topmost? Madhurya, conjugal love, worshipping Krishna and conjugal love, especially in separation, that is considered the topmost worship. Arati Bhagavan, the great Sangha, Sadhama Vrindavanam, Samya Kaji Dupasana, Rajavadu, Sargena Vasakrita, Rajavadu, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Rajavadu, all the gopis of Vrindavan. Like that we should worship. So in that mode, we worship. Similarly, if you hear South India and Sri Sampradaya, they worship Narayana as supreme. Sri Krishna and Narayana, Narayana is the expanse of Krishna only in a different mood, as on the ground. If you any of you had experience of visiting Tirupati, Tirupati has seen, you have to find in such a long queue, something like 8 hours or 10 hours. And when you go there, you just get a glimpse of the Lord. Very beautiful form. Standing form with a very dark room, Sankaram Sankaram, such a dark room. But you just get a glimpse, immediately people will throw you out. There are 2 men standing on either side. So you show the darshan and throw you out immediately. So the worship in worship of Vishnu in Sri Sampradaya is very much an awe and reverence. Awe and veneration. Our worship of Krishna is not an awe and veneration. It is because it's very much more intimate relationship. Like we give the example of Prime Minister in office or parliament and Prime Minister at home. The Krishna office is like Prime Minister at home and Vishnu office is like Prime Minister at office, parliament. So the sampradaya essence of the knowledge is the same. Sometimes we discuss it presentable and later we discuss those who become the great Vaishnava of the Chaitanya. Such purity, amazing, same thing. The Vaishnava also belongs to Chaitanya. He quotes so many verses from his book. So the essence is exactly the same, but no difference. So they have a relationship with Vishnu in the Vaikuntha planet. And we have a relationship with Krishna in the Vaikuntha. Any other questions? Nipat means to fall down. Prani means Nipat and reservation. Vedanta Sutra is the end of Veda. Veda answer means end of Veda. The Vedanta Sutra is a set of algorithms like, you know, Janmatyatyataha or Anandamaya or Vyasar or Rasavaisaha. All these, like there are small, small algorithms. You can also compare together and study Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta is written in Vyasa. And in order to make us understand, make the Vedanta Sutra more easily understandable, because you just say an algorithm, you know, Rasavaisaha. The Lord is the source of all transcendental pleasure. That's the meaning of Rasavaisaha. But then we don't understand how he is the source of all transcendental pleasure. So the same Vyasadeva wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. So the commentary of Vedanta Sutra. So I was telling you about the book, Shah Jahan's book, isn't it? Like Shah Jahan is a book, but you don't know what is contained in it. So the author himself explains what is there in that book. Then people call them a little bit of understanding. The same way Vyasadeva wrote the Vedanta Sutra, it was very tough to understand. And he himself made a purport to that. It was Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Vedanta Sutra. Bhagavatam also is sometimes called as Vedanta Sutra. Bhagavatam also. Isn't it an awesome defense? Somebody? Huh? That's it.
Just like a mind, yeah. There is a next life, if we do there is now.
Actually, if the service is rendered to the Lord without proper consciousness, it is considered under the category of sannyasa sarvati. Like if somebody is rendering service unconsciously, sometimes you also sometimes our mind is in hallucination when you render service. That means it cannot be considered as devotional service. That is translated as ajnana sarvati. Ajnana sarvati is like a seed. This will mature into a fruit of devotional service. At a future time, we cannot exactly say when, but in the same lifetime or the next lifetime. No, it's not a good answer, no. The very meaning of the word ajnata means, what do you mean ajnata? Not long, like for example, you're standing in the bus stop, and the Maharishna devotees are doing, I'm going kirtan, and you happen to hear it. So you heard the Harishna Mahamantra, and someone may give a comment, oh, they're singing so nicely. So it's like the first ajnata prati, from that step onward, the prayer has begun. So, that whatever devotee is there, everywhere. To give a chance to everyone. Yes, another question. That's the question, you tell me.
In the sloka you are quoting,
There is no sun and moon in the spiritual world. But it is also the same with the Goswami literature, if you see. That the sun was so hot in Vrindavan that when the sun was very hot, and when Krishna came near Yamuna, Yamuna started splashing water and splashing some lotuses on Krishna, a breeze started killing breeze. So he was explaining that actually the sun was purposefully hot in order to increase the service of his devotees. The sun wanted to see that Yamuna can render more service to Krishna. Krishna also will take some water from Yamuna, and the trees can give trees, you know, so everyone will get an opportunity to send the service to Krishna. He wanted to increase the service of his devotees. So you are wondering, ask the question, why is the sun coming in picture? Krishna says there is no sun in the spiritual world. So actually when Krishna wants to perform pastime, you can make anything possible. You can make anything possible. You can make a sun, you can have a moon when you want. And then if you want to show blood, in order to increase the love of the devotees, then you can become a father. Blood particles in the body of Krishna, the sweat in the body of Krishna, and Krishna lifting the chariot wheel on his hand and coming to us in the charger, he says, come up, accepted, in Viraraj. So in Viraraj, when Krishna fights with his devotees, he can actually accept him from Jalpa and Dalpa. And everything is really transcendent. Even at that time. So that is not material. And that's it, Mother. Sarupati means sa, rupa. Sarupa means your own form. You have a form. And that form is the eternal form in the spiritual level, but you all do not know what is the original form. So you have to achieve a stage where you will get the Sarup Pranadi, we call it. Sarupati means you will know what is the form in the spiritual world, what is the service in the spiritual world, what is your name in the spiritual world, and whom are you directly working in the spiritual world, what are your services in the spiritual world. How are you related to Krishna and Krishna? Well, everything will come to know. But I think 11 or 12 things are there, you should be ready to you. When you achieve the stage of perfection. So somebody may be a gopi, somebody may be a gopa, somebody may be a cow, somebody may be a grass, somebody may be a tree. So we all have our own set of attitudes you do not know. When we reduce those attitudes, we have learned things to know. Namaste. I think people ask about changing for the time, you know why? That some people are afraid that I should not be a cow in this picture. It's actually material understanding. Many people think, Krishna, please kindly make me a birthday in the spiritual world. How nice it will be. Or a gopa gita. That is better than being a cow or a grass. It's not like that. See, that's when you platform, you know, you don't feel that you know you are a grass or you are a cow. You don't feel any kind of interiority. Now at this stage, you feel you are an interior, you are a superior. You don't feel like that. In fact, the grass is thinking, what fortune did I have? But Krishna is putting his feet on me. Even the person is not attained by gopis and the gopas. They are not fortunate enough like me. That's what you think. So you grasp my spiritual. So you don't do it by becoming a grasp my spiritual. But still, you don't have to worry about that. When you advance in spiritual life, automatically everything will be right there. Hare Krishna.